There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us here in the darkness on the edge of town. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board for me, as always, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening.
You know, before we get started into the show too deeply, I want to thank everybody. As you know, if you visit our MySpace pages, I put up a lot of blogs for prayer requests, healing requests, and we've had quite a few this week with our good friend Sid Schultz. Out with Pasadena Paranormal Research Society is going through some stuff. And if you get a chance, you could read my blog about it and see if you can help send out some healing and energy, good prayers and thoughts in his direction. Also, a friend of mine, Misty Bay, one of her friends, is in need of help and prayers as well. So please check out our blogs. But before we go too far, I do want to make a quick mention what a trooper we have in our midst. Mr. Tim Dennis took a spill a couple weeks ago.
I did, yeah.
And took a hard spill and cracked his skull really hard on the asphalt. And he has been a little goofy ever since.
I have, so, yeah. Well, it didn't change much anything.
No, but he has been dealing with a lot of pain and a lot of pressure. So, folks, if you're of the healing ilk, put out some prayers and energy for Mr. Tim Dennis. I'd appreciate that. Let's get our buddy healthy and happy and back on his feet and get that going. We're going to be talking tonight with our guest Bobby Sullivan. We're going to be talking about healing and auras and spirit releasement and ghost hunting and all the fun stuff. So we're going to be getting into that. But I have a couple of cool announcements I want to make. For those of you that don't check out our MySpace page, shame on you, but you should. We have a link to it on our front page at darknessradio.com. Join in and click on the MySpace link. You can join up there. You get up-to-date news on our guests and what's going on in our world. I had the opportunity last weekend to go to New York and do a live Q&A with the cast of Paranormal State on A&E, which is a great new paranormal show. It's on every Monday night, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central. It's been a great paranormal show. I've really enjoyed it quite a bit. And they actually offered me the opportunity to host a Q&A with the cast, which was videotaped and will be actually aired on their website, aeinsider.com. That's aeinsider.com. That'll be up tomorrow sometime during the day. And again, that'll preclude into tomorrow night's episode, so you want to check that out. You know, it was a great opportunity to sit down and chat with them. We asked questions that the viewers and fans of the show had requested to know about them. We get to talk about the paranormal. We talk about their personal lives. So it's a really good time. And again, if you haven't signed up, it's free. It's fun, and you get a lot of great information, backstage information on all your favorite A&E shows. You get interviews and exclusive things that nobody else will get. So again, I encourage you to go check out www.aeinsider.com. And I also encourage you, if you have not watched Paranormal State, to give it a watch tomorrow night. It's on Monday nights starting at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central Time. Just a fun little show, very interesting. We've got our good friend Chip Coffee as part of the show. You'll see him show up from time to time. You know, Father Andrew Calder, Lorraine Warren has been on the show. And, of course, it's based around the Penn State Paranormal Research Society, headed up by Ryan Buell and Sergey Proberezhny. And then, of course, I got to meet all the rest of the cast, which was a lot of fun. We had Heather Taddy. I always want to say Toddy, Tim, and she's not. She goes, it's Taddy. Oh. Heather Taddy and Katrina is out there. She's fantastic. And of course, our good friend Elfie Music. And it was just such a pleasure to hang out there. So I hope you will give it a watch. Check it out. You get to see me do my deal in full living color. That's frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
All right. But you do get to check it out. I also have a couple of cool announcements to make about the paranormal retreats. For those of you checking out our website, the Stanley is completely sold out. The Queen Mary, we only have a handful of tickets left for. And one of the trips that everybody's been begging me for is to do the UFO Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington with James Gilliland. And I have news. Watch our site at darknessevents.com in the next 7 days. In the next 7 days, we're going to be posting an event happening in June. You, too, can come out and spend the night under the stars with Dave and Tim and a Just a great little lineup of guests that we're putting together. We're going to be out there investigating the paranormal and checking for UFO activity. We're going to get to see some really cool footage of UFO activity that's gone on in the past. We're going to talk to James Gilliland, of course, that runs a ranch. We're going to be talking to a cryptozoologist. We're going to be dealing with a bunch of different speakers at the event. It's going to be something totally different. It is not a TAPS event, so Jason and Grant will not be there unless they decide to show up to hang out and star watch with us. But I know they're going to be thick in filming until the beginning part of June, so I'm not sure if they'll be able to join us on that. We are working on other trips, and within the next couple of weeks, again, probably within the next 7 days, you could probably check. I believe we're going to have up the new Queen Mary and New Stanley events, which will be taking place respectively in November and December of 2008. So I hope that you'll join us out for those as well. Tim, I think that's about it, unless there's anything else you need to mention this evening.
I'll be appearing at the Anoka Dog Show. I'll be personally inseminating dogs at the show.
Oh, stop. No. Oh, God, this is horrible.
No, I'm not.
We will make them making our own El Chupacabra. We're going to be having all kinds of events. Next weekend, I want to mention, we're going to be doing our live event at the Palmer House in Sauk Center, Minnesota. And it's open year-round, so if you have a ghost hunting team and you'd like to come out, just give Kelly a call at the Palmer House Hotel, and you can go out and investigate anytime. Stay at the hotel, stay in some of the most haunted rooms. It's great. They have over 20 well-known spirits in the place that interact with people and show up and make creepy noises and haunt the place. So you definitely want to give the place a look. But we're going to be out there with our friends Chris Burns and Patrick Fleming.
Exactly.
Yes, Chris Fleming and Patrick Burns from Dead Famous and Haunting Evidence are going to be out there. And next Sunday, we're going to have them live in the studio here to do an interview with them. And we're going to be talking to them about the event itself and some of the evidence that we were able to obtain and some of the personal experiences. We're also going to talk to them. The topic will be dealing with using psychics and using technology, can we get too dependent on those during regular investigations? What are good ways to keep ourselves in check? And do the experts find themselves becoming too dependent on their own abilities and technology? So we're going to be covering that. We'll be taking your questions and phone calls. Right now, though, we do want to get into tonight's show. As I alluded to at the beginning, our guest this evening is Bobby Sullivan, and Bobby has signed on. He's going to be joining us next week out at the Palmer House as well. He's going to be doing aura photography. And I wanted to talk to him and have him on the show this evening. And in our interview and pre-interview this week, just like talking to the guy. He's got a lot of great stories, a lot of great information. So I asked him to be a part of the Palmer House event. He's going to actually do a talk out there about auras, spirit release, healing, just all the different cool stuff people will be interested in. So, I'm looking forward to that. And I also believe we are going to be doing our first ever webcast of a darkness event.
Hmm.
Patrick Burns is going to be running some software, and we're going to be trying it out at the Palmer House so that people at home might be able to tune in and see what's going on and hear from some of the speakers and kind of interact with us via the chat room as well.
So note to self, leave my French maid outfit at home.
No, that's going to get more people to watch.
So
that's all good. So you can keep checking our website. We're going to hopefully have updates for you on there, or you can check out ghosthounds.com. That's ghosthounds.com, run by Patrick Burns. I'm sure it'll be up on either the Darkness Radio site or Ghost Hounds or both. But our guest, Bobby Sullivan, is with us this evening, and he is a Minnesota-based sensitive psychic and healer. He's also a ghostbuster, goes out on a lot of investigations, and specializes also in spirit releasement and helping them cross over. So we've got a lot to talk to Bobby about tonight. We're going to also be taking your phone calls. But to start off the show, one thing that I've really been interested in, and let's welcome, first of all, to the darkness on the edge of town, Mr. Bobby Sullivan. Good evening, Bobby.
Hi, guys. Glad to be here. This is awesome. I'm really happy to be in the darkness for my first time, and I hope it's one of many.
Yeah, well, once you go into the dark, you never go back.
Yeah.
that's going to get me in trouble. But, Bobby, I've been interested in, you'd think being into the paranormal and all the stuff we do, I'd have a better handle on auras, but it's been one of those things that's always been kind of on the fringe of my interests, because it does seem so new agey and so strange to me. There's a light that surrounds us, and it's like a mood ring our body wears that we don't even know about. I want to understand, what can you give us more of a perspective? What exactly is the aura, and how is it attached to our bodies?
Well, really, what I think it is that it is the light that shines in all living things, and it comes from that life force. It comes from the energy. It comes from the movement that comes through us. And it is reflected based in vibration. And so each vibration has a frequency. And depending on what that frequency is, depends on what color the aura is or what colors it's going to show. So it really is just that light that shines from all living things. And it's not something that people typically see with the naked eye. Some sensitives can do it. A lot of children can actually see it. There's a theory out there that a lot of children actually see auras up until about the age of 7 or 8. And after that time, when society kind of chimes in and tells people that it doesn't exist, we start to lose that ability.
Like with ghosts. A lot of children have the ability until they're trained not to. Can we train ourselves, Bobby, to actually see the aura?
There are. And I actually, one of the classes that I teach on auras and energy, I take the class through a couple different exercises. And it's there's actually two or three ways that we can see auras. We have the ability to look at them through our eyes. And that's a little bit tougher, but in the psychic world, what we talk about is our third eye, okay, mm-hmm. which we all have access to, and it really just takes a little bit of training on learning how to open that up and how to use it. And it is the sight that really isn't connected to our left brain. It's not our analytical side. It's actually more connected to our feeling side. So typically, like when I'm working with students on helping them see auras or ghosts or something like that. A lot of times with ghosts, you might see a flash move out of the corner of your eye or mm-hmm. a dark shadow or something like that. And as soon as you turn to look with your eyes, it disappears. What's going on there is you're actually tuning into that with your third eye. And once your logical brain tunes in with its eyes, we lose that. So it's really teaching people how to focus with their third eye, how to open that up.
Do you know what this almost sounds like to me, Bobby? Do you remember those goofy posters and pictures that came out a couple years ago where it was just this crazy pattern and you stare at it and kind of let your eyes go past the crazy pattern and all of a sudden you see the Statue of Liberty or, you know, an undersea design or something like that? Is that similar to this? We're so trained to not see what's right in front of us. That's why our peripheral view is relaxed. It's not focused and centered in one place, so we can see the things that are kind of zipping around us.
Exactly. I always explain it like in the Hitchcock movies. You know how Hitchcock used that kind of that focus where everything became tunnel. You know, vision,
right.
and that's what happens when I started seeing auras. When you put someone up against a wall, and it could be like a light wall. Sometimes other people react better with darker walls, and you just stare, and you don't stare at them, you stare at the space between, you know, maybe like 2 inches above their head. And after a while, what happens is the focus changes, and you start to lose them. They kind of do that Hitchcock thing, and then the color starts to open up, and you can see it. One of the exercises that I do with people, and you can try this at home, is you take a colored piece of paper, and you place it down right in front of you, and make sure you have plenty of light on, and spread your hand on the piece of paper and spend about 10 minutes looking at the space between your fingers. And you can blink, but just keep your focus on that. And all of a sudden what happens is your hand starts to go in and out of focus and colors will start to appear. I've had students that can actually see fingers starting to disappear, or I've even had people start to open up where they can actually see through their hands and see the table, or see through the table and see the floor. If you really think about the idea that all of this material stuff in our world is based in light and light energy, then there is a way to actually see through it. It just takes a little bit of training.
Have you ever seen the photograph where they show, and I believe it was a guy's arm had been severed in a car accident, and they took a photograph of the stump, and I can't remember what kind of film they were using, but when they took the photograph, you could still see the outline of the hand as though it was still there. Is that still the aura holding the pattern of what was once there as flesh?
Absolutely. That's what happens. With that exercise that I talked about, You can actually take your hand off the paper,
mm-hmm.
and that's usually what I'll have the students do, is take their hand off the paper, and you can still see the energy from your hand on the paper. We do the same thing, like if you cut off a leaf off of a living tree or something like that and put it on the paper, and we do the same exercise. It's kind of cool.
Now with this, it's part of our energy, or just part of universal energy that our aura is created from?
Well, I think it's both. I think talking from my own belief is that I believe in oneness. I believe that we are one with that universal energy, mm-hmm. and there is a connection between all of us. So yes, it is that oneness, but it is also our universal. I mean, it's our individual energy as well. One of the things that that I really believe in is that the idea that each different atom in our body has its own aura. Okay, so those atoms form molecules, and each one of those molecules has its own aura. Each one of those molecules forms to create an organ, and each organ has its own aura.
And they have two friends, and they tell two friends. Okay,
but what I'm getting at is that somewhere down the line, either someone's going to invent a piece of equipment, or people will get good enough at being able to see this that we'll be able to examine an aura and know exactly what's going on with someone physically. You know, they'll say, "Okay, I see some coloration in your aura right there. That's connected to your liver." You know, we know your liver's out of balance, and it's kind of like the Star Trek thing. You know, when they put the
tricorder,
on. Oh, thank
Why
you.
Did I have
thank
to know?
Thank you.
Geek check. Star Trek geek.
My geek.
When they're using the tricorder, Bobby, I believe that's the term you're looking for.
But that's the idea: is that you're bringing that energy back into balance.
When you're doing that, and you've got a sickness. When you do aura photography, can you tell, like, if you take a photograph of me, I have migraines a lot. Will there be sometimes a black spot in the head area of the aura, or will there be something that you can look at and say, I bet this guy gets headaches a lot?
Yeah, the equipment that I use is called aura imaging equipment. So the way that it works is that you put your hands on sensor plates.
Mm-hmm.
The sensor plates read the energy from your hands, and it's similar to like biofeedback type process. And there's a computer that the sensor plates are hooked up to that creates a frequency based off of the sensor plate reading, and each frequency has a color assigned to it, and the camera images the color into the photograph of you. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So it is a little bit limited in our auras actually exist in a lot of different levels. There's emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, and universal layers. The camera doesn't go that deep.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is unhealthy or having a real bad headache or basically being drained of their energy, it's mm-hmm. going to show up usually.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Now, do you have, when you're ever doing this, you know, I mean, also being a paranormal investigator yourself and a Ghostbuster, do you ever come across in the photography, do you see images of spirits attached, like, in the aura itself?
Absolutely. That will show up as well. I've seen spirits. I've seen ghosts. I've actually seen angels.
You have a really fascinating picture of a woman with actual angel wings in her aura coming off.
Yeah, they look like angel or fairy wings or something like that. And they just showed up right in her photograph. So it you never know what's going to happen.
When you're doing the work with aura photography too, No, I've seen it done with the hand plate deal. Is it reading your body heat and temperature? Do you ever question that? I mean, it's just giving you more of like a mood ring does. You know, it changes the color according to your moods. And
I believe what it's reading is actually skin temperature and vibration, and it works, like I said, on the biofeedback idea. So it's the same process that like a lie detector would work on. You know, those types of things, and it is. It's a really cool technology. The guy who invented the camera, his name is Guy Coggins, and he's got a company called Progen out in California, and he's done a lot of work on the camera. There's other cameras out there that I don't think are quite as good. Guy's really devoted his life to developing this technology. There's a lot of people out there using the camera and calling it Carillion photography, which it's not. Carillion photography is based more on a photographic processing where you put your mm-hmm. hand on the developing paper and it shows up a whole lot different. So this is this process or imaging is really it's a fun thing. It's part entertainment. What I am able to do with it though is it really gives me a way to tune into the person's energy on a different level. And so when I'm focused on the picture, I'm getting information intuitively about what's going on with them. And I will look at mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual and kind of give you a reading from there, breaking it down on what's what might be boosting your energy or what might be blocking your energy and what's going on with you.
All right, cool. Well, I want to get more into the healing side of things and understanding the aura. We're going to take our first break of the hour. Stick with us. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest, Bobby Sullivan. We'll be back with more right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I got to pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town. They're hardly beautiful and barely average. In fact, when they were both born, the doctor slapped their moms instead of them.
I will slap you so hard you end up in the Ming Dynasty.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Hey, welcome back to the show. If you're sitting in our chat room and you have questions for our guest, although we both are in the chat room, Bobby and I are focusing on the show, so we won't be noticing that. Tim will try to get your questions, so just IM them over to Tim. He'll handle it. Otherwise, we have opened up our phone lines at 952-830-1470. Again, that's 952-830-1470. It's weekends and it's late at night, people, so I know that you have free long distance on your cell. There's no reason for you not to pick up the phone and call
if you'd
like to know more about auras and healing. So we're going to talk about that. And before we get too much further in, Bobby, I wanted to ask you. Now, if I know that you were showing us a little bit of Reiki before the show started. You were able to show me, and I was blown away how you heated up like that just in the 3 seconds you said you were going to focus.
Yeah.
Now, when you're using Reiki, are you affecting the aura? Or are you affecting the person?
Are you aligning them
like the tumblers in a lock?
The way that I look at healing, and I am attuned in Reiki. I don't really call what I do Reiki. I call it just hands-on healing type energy or energy work, because I'm not a real big Reiki student anymore. But the way that it works is because we all have auras and we all emit a frequency and we're all vibrating at a certain level. What I do is help create the space for people to bring any vibration that they have back into balance that might be out of balance. So like with Tim hitting his head, he probably like when our body goes through physical injury, we may go into a unbalance, okay?
Okay.
Or be in disease if our body's diseased.
So it's almost like when a car hits a curb and it throws the front end out of alignment.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It still is functionable and it'll do its functionable? Functionable.
New term. It's
scientifical. So I mean, it still functions, but it's just things are wonky now.
Things are out of balance, yeah.
Okay.
So what I do and one of the things I always tell people they need to look out for is healers that think that the energy comes from them or that they're the ones that are creating this. That isn't how I look at it. All I'm doing is opening up a channel to bring universal energy or the source or whatever you want to call it in to a person to help them bring their energy back into balance. I'm just the messenger. I just bring it through me and they're the ones who do the healing for themselves. Okay.
Okay.
But to answer your question, it is, yes, you are bringing their energy back into balance and their aura is really a reflection of that. It's going to show that balance. Aura is really just like a projection of the energy that's going on.
So can you, if you look at the aura and you said that you could see earlier, medical maladies wrong,
yep.
You know, you'll see that. When you're doing Reiki, then can you focus on that part of the aura? If you're pulling, because I've seen, you know, when I've had bad sinus infections and I'm not feeling well, our friend that used to do Reiki for us, she would sit there and like pull from in front of me and it almost looked like she was pulling spider webs out of my forehead.
Yeah, yeah.
And she would do this and it was coming in. Oh, was it intent that she was trying to clear out that goop? What
happens is we can get cords that are connected to us, and this happens a lot with spirit attachment as well. Mm-hmm. Energy flows in cords in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. and especially with people or entities or other things, or if we take on energy that we don't want into our system. A lot of times it can be spiked or corded, and what healers will do is they'll feel that and they will pull that cord out, and that's probably what she was doing to you, was she was pulling that cord out and then filling that space with that energy, bringing that whole system back into balance.
Now, does this work in with do auras have something to do with chis and chakras and Chaka Khan and
Chaka Khan and the Papasan.
That's right.
Yeah, it does. The whole chakra system is typically what healers will work with, and the way that's set up is our body has 7 main chakras. I believe we have a lot more than that. Just like each cell has its own aura, I think there's chakras, which are basically like portals, a way for energy to move in and out of our body. But the 7 main ones, they start in our pelvic region, which is called the root chakra, then in our stomach and our solar plexus, in our heart center, then moving up to our throat, up to our third eye area, and then our crown. And the way it works is the bottom 3, the root, the stomach, and the solar plexus are really what connects us to the earth. Okay, it's our earth energy.
Sure.
The heart center being our balance of the 2, and then the other 3, the throat, the third eye, and the crown are what connect us to the universal energy. Okay, mm-hmm. And really what our bodies are just kind of a medium for a place for both of those energies to come together.
You know, JD in our chat room has kind of an interesting question. When you look at somebody's aura, can you tell if they're somebody of maybe not the right ilk, you know what I mean? Somebody who's a bad guy?
Well, I have my own personal belief on this. I a lot of people talk about, you know, encountering someone evil or, you know, someone of bad ilk. I don't look at it that way. I just look at energy as being different, okay? So if you come into a room and you're vibrating at a certain level, and you kind of think of it like an octave on a piano, okay? Mm-hmm. There's 8 notes. They're all different frequencies. You might be the high note, and that person might be the low note, a lower mm-hmm. frequency. It might not be in tune. You know what I mean? You might feel a little bit weird around that person because your vibration is so different, and that happens quite a bit.
But I mean, if you know, have you ever, when you're doing this, do you ever get somebody with a black aura, or no aura appearing at all?
I've never experienced no aura. I've experienced people with big holes in their aura, and that can be caused by a lot of things. It can be caused by negativity.
I've been called a big hole for many times. Do you think that's what they're talking about?
I just had
a hole in my aura?
Yep. It can be caused by disease. It can be caused by drug abuse or alcohol abuse. It can be caused by, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that people get holes in their aura.
Now, that's interesting to me because our friend Michael Perry, who might, I don't know if he's in the chat room right now, if he is, signal in, but he was talking to me about the fact that, you know, that's how alcohol, and I want to get more into this in the second hour, but it does talk about healing right now. You know, alcoholics, drug takers, things like that, it opens up those holes in your aura that allow the negative in, mm-hmm. which can affect. Mm-hmm. Is that true? I mean, do you find that as well, that if somebody's drug addicted, alcohol problems, that their aura could be like Swiss cheese, and that could be why they're having so much, and it's kind of pasting that back together to get it all?
Well, there's definitely a connection between vibrating at a low level and spirit attachment, and I know we're going to talk about this later, but what happens is a lot of times ghosts actually are very attracted to a low vibration.
Okay.
And because they kind of operate in that realm, that's how they vibrate. So they're really attracted to people who are going through, you know, heavy drug use or alcohol use or heavy depression, things like that. Especially if they've lived a life like that. And mm-hmm. a lot of times with spirit attachment, spirits will attach to the energy of someone who lived a life just like them because that's what they're looking for.
Okay. Now we have a question, right, Tim?
Yeah, I I may be psychic myself because I believe this is Andrew on the line. I'm not quite sure, but Andrew, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hey, Andrew, how are you?
Doing good. I have a question for, or actually two questions for Bobby.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
I'm also able to sense auras and also see auras. How come when I'm around people I can sense them, but sometimes I can't see them?
Go ahead. I'm just writing your question down because I've got no short-term memory from the 80s. So,
okay, and the other question was, I have noticed since I started to develop with a teacher online, when I start to do readings with people, I can tell by the chakra system what's in balance or what's not in balance. Mm-hmm. Too. So what's going on with that? Am I just picking up on things?
It sounds to me like what's happening is you're really developing your sensitivity. There are a lot of ways to sense auras, and I started talking about this before. We can sense them with our eyes, we can sense them with our third eye, and we can also feel them. The idea of being psychic can come in a lot of different ways. We can be clairvoyant, where we have a lot of third eye activity, where we actually can psychically see things in our mind's eye. But we can also be clairsentient, where you actually feel energy as well. And it probably is that you're using both of those gifts and you're developing those. And there's just different times and different places where you're going to use those, depending on what's going on. Sometimes it's really hard to be clairvoyant if there is a lot of analytical stuff going on, and it's a lot easier to feel if you can really connect that way. So that would be my guess, is that you're actually just developing both of those things really well.
Because when I first saw, when I was in church, I've been developing by myself about a year, and I've been developing with my teacher about seven months now. When I first saw, my first aura was white around this creature, and it freaked me out. And ever since then, I've been obsessed about trying to understand what I was, basically seeing. And I'm able to see them and also feel them. But I'm more on the feeling part, and sometimes I will see them as well.
Yeah.
And also you were saying about seeing things out the corner of your eye as well.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of times when we're developing our third eyes, or when we're just opening those up, you're going to catch those images. And a lot of people actually do that as well. You'll catch images out of the corner of your eye. And that's how you start seeing ghost energy, typically, or spirit energy, is that it will be a dark shadow or a black streak or a flash kind of out of the corner of your eye.
Now, Bobby, and thank you very much for calling in, Andrew. And again, for anybody that's interested, if you want to call in, the number is 952-830-1470. Again, that's 952-830-1470. There are medical conditions, Bobby, that people have that can actually, they think they're seeing an aura, but it's actually a brain issue, or there's also ones that happen with the eyes. I know they call it the halo effect, the white aura. Mm-hmm. Now, if people are just seeing a white-like aura around people, is that something that should be medically looked at? Because, I mean, auras are a color, right?
Yeah, I'm not qualified to answer that, but I know a lot of times when people are starting to see auras, you'll see that glow kind of coming maybe an inch right off of their body. And that can be the heat. That we're sure. Actually starting to see the vibration of that heat coming off of their body. But it's you're going in the right place. You're starting to see that energy. It's similar to looking at like a gas in a can, where you start seeing the fumes coming off. It's a much...
Were you watching me when I was in the can, Bobby? You saw the gas? That's great.
it's a much lighter vibration, but you can start to see that, start seeing that flow.
Sure. So, but that's just something that you might want to investigate for, and that's not putting Andrew in any position either, but there have been medical case studies where they've talked about people that claim to be able to see auras, and it is a medical condition. Maybe somebody in the room can join in if they remember the name of it. If I memorize that, I'd lose something important, like knowing that Florence Bush was the hairdresser on Leave It to Beaver. So I've just got to be very selective in what I try to keep.
Just keep repeating it.
That's right.
Hey, wait a minute. Florence Bush was the
hairdresser on Leave It to Beaver. How crazy, huh? Last name on the scrolled credits at the end
of
the show.
That's nice. I was a TV kid, so I'm surprised I didn't know that.
See? You got to pay attention. It was right before it said that all of their wardrobe was provided by Botany 500.
I knew that.
I need a life, Bobby. I need a life. Dealing with yours and doing healings, can you, when somebody comes in and does a photograph with you in an aura photography, and then you do a Reiki on them or do a healing, when they go back, will you see a dramatic change in their aura color or structure?
A lot of times, yes, and that's one of the things we do with the camera. That's kind of fun.
That's just one of the things he does with the camera. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
We'll get to that later in the hour.
Now put on that French maid costume and dance for us, Tim.
Hey. That's something I definitely want to see, Tim, the French maid costume. No, what we will do is do before and after healing photos quite a bit, and I've got some pretty cool ones to show exactly how that works. Now, I also have an attachment with the camera. I don't have all of it yet. I'm still working on getting it, but there's a device that you can hook up with a healer, so the healee can sit down in a chair and put his hands on the pads, and the healer can put on an apparatus, and you can actually hook the camera up to a video screen and see the healing energy coming into the other person's aura. You can put two auras on the camera at once, which is pretty cool. I've seen the demo of it.
Wow. So there's quite a bit of work done. You know, you mentioned something. Tim, do we have to take our second break here? Or yeah, we have to take our second break. Or we're going to take our second break. When we come back, do you know much about biofeedback, Bobby? Because I'd like to hit you up with a little bit of that.
Yeah, not a lot. No,
okay. But, well, we'll touch on what you do know, and we'll be back with that. And again, if you have any questions for Bobby here, you can talk to him about the aura and healing at 952-830-1470. We'll be back with more right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
Thank
she...
you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town. Are you ready for some adventure? Swashbuckling action? Pirates? High seas battles? How about a little history, romance, and haunting Celtic mysticism thrown into the mix? If so, you have got to read The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, the new book by author-illustrator Scotty Roberts, set in England, Ireland, and Scotland of the 16th century. Irish Lord Tam O'Hare sets out on a quest to find and rescue a little girl from the hands of the very folk of the Dark Shadowlands. On his way, he runs headlong into adventure and intrigue from all quarters in the form of wolves, foxes, and pirating rabbits. Oh, and did I mention Tam O'Hare is, well, a rabbit? This book will not be available in stores until late this fall. But you can get your advanced copy of The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare now by going to www.tamohare.com. That's www.tamohare.com. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again. You hear footsteps and things bumping and banging in the middle of the night. Could it be paranormal activity? Or is it just Dave and Tim raiding your fridge?
Beer.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Again, we made a mention about this at the beginning of the show. I want to make sure to mention it again. For all of you interested in the darkness retreats and paranormal events, we are going to have it posted in the next 7 days, guys. We're doing the UFO event out at Trout Lake, Washington at the Isetti Ranch. And not only will you get to participate in the event and Skywatch, James Gilliland is opening his land for the night so you can actually sleep out under the stars and hopefully witness UFO activity. Just to let you know, if you're not familiar with this, We've had him on our show. I highly suggest you go back into our archives at darknessradio.com. Click on the Listen tab. Find James Gilliland and go back through there. Listen to his shows. The stuff that goes on there is amazing. I had the experience of going out there myself a year ago. I saw things I cannot explain. I'm excited to bring other people out there and witness what I saw. And he tells us his promise has always been if it's a clear night, there is a 95% chance you will see something in his skies over his home. I saw a ton of stuff that I could not explain, including what I believe to be either an interdimensional character, creature, whatever, or an alien. So just amazing. I'm looking forward to it and having a bunch of our friends come out and join us for the event. We'll have more information up in the next 7 days at darknessevents.com. And for those of you listening to the show on podcast form after we air, or if you're reviewing the show and listening, do me a favor. If it's a show and you know that we're taking calls from our guests or from the audience, don't contact me and tell me that you think you caught an EVP on our show. Most likely, if you hear some talking in the background, that's Tim just answering the phones. I just mentioned that because every time we do shows like this with Bobby and Tim's answering the phone in the background, within a day or two, I get somebody texting me, Dave, I was listening to your show with Bobby Sullivan, and at this point in the show, I could hear what sounded like voices talking in the background, and we go back, and I play it, and I can tell it's Tim saying, you're listening to Darkness Radio, yeah, okay, you want to go on the air? Okay, good, we'll be right with you, hold on. And then he puts him on hold, and that's your EVP. So just so you're aware of that. Now, if we're just doing a regular show and you hear weird voices, which we've had on a couple of occasions, right, Tim? Remember there was a couple of times, especially in the beginning when we were talking, we heard stuff.
Most definitely, yeah.
Coming over. So, yeah, I mean, you can keep checking and let us know, but I'm just warning you, if it's a show and you know we're taking live calls, there's probably a good chance the voice you hear in the background is just Tim Dennis. And for people that are interested in the eCETI Ranch, if you want more information, go to ecetI.com. Is it .com? eCETI.com or eCETI.org, Tim? I can't remember.
I don't know, but I might get a launch here and some lowbrows for that one.
Oh, dude, it's well worth it. It's going to be great. You know, we're going to be doing a little sleeping over, maybe a little barbecuing. I mean, he has a facility on the site so that we can do our talks and our presentations there all day long. And then we're going to go out and star watch and have a great time that night. So it's going to be a blast. And we're going to do a two-night event so people get to spend the night for two nights outside. So it's gonna be one stinky, sweaty group, Tim. But they do have showers on site and bathrooms. So
that was my next question.
Work. Yes, it'll be a good deal. You know, while we were at commercial, I had Scotty in the chat room popped on. He asked kind of an interesting question, Bobby. When you're doing these readings, does a psychic's aura differ from a non-psychic person's aura?
Yeah, actually, it does. And the way that I look at it is that we're continually developing. We're continually working on ourselves in this life school that we're in. And as we're doing that, we're also doing things that are helping raise or lower our vibration. I believe people that are psychic, and this is why people that can see ghosts often attract ghosts or other things like that, because your aura actually gives off a light that sort of indicates that you can do that. So a lot of times with children who have that light in their aura, or psychics or sensitives that have that ability, you're gonna attract those kind of things. And a lot of ghosts are actually really looking for someone that they can communicate with, someone that can see them, someone that can kind of validate that they're there. A lot of ghosts actually have some sort of message to deliver, you know, those kind of things. So, yeah.
Now, again, for those of you in the chat room, if you're chicken about making a phone call in, which so many of you seem to be, as always, you can PM to Tim or myself, like Scotty and JD have done in the past, if you have questions, and we'll try to include them during the show. Just click on Tim or I, and we'll be able to help you out getting your questions on. You know, that brings up a really cool question or an idea for me as well here, Bobby. Have you ever dealt with indigo children or crystalline children?
Yeah, actually, it's a real big interest of mine. I taught a class over at the Center for Spiritual Development here in mm-hmm. Minneapolis for gifted children. I did it for about a year and a half. And I do a class on indigo children. It's a real big passion of mine. It's a real important thing that is happening on the planet right now with indigo and crystal children and that energy coming in. And I believe, my own personal belief is that the planet's going through a pretty big change right now.
and they're the ones that are kind of paving the way, and their souls are actually coming in to facilitate and be a part of this change.
You know what I wonder, too, about this? I know they just did a Beyond Reality Radio. If you people didn't listen last night on Saturday night with Jane Grant, they talked a lot about crystalline children and indigo children, and there were many different theories bantered about. It seems like, from what I've been reading and understanding, is a lot of these children started in about the 1980s, is when the birth process started for these indigo and crystalline children, is when the real outpouring grew. I'm curious about something, Bobby. You know, my mom's a nurse. She's worked in neonatal intensive care units. You know, when babies are going to be premature, and they know that there's no way that they can keep this baby from coming, they'll hit the moms up with steroids so that that develops things on the baby quicker. Mm-hmm. So that the baby can breathe, the baby can do this, the baby can do that. My question is, it also began in about the 80s when farmers and meat packers, all those, began injecting more and more steroids into chickens, cows, pigs to get fatter, girthier animals so that they were getting more meat. And, I mean, we're already seeing more higher levels of aggression in children than we've ever seen. We're seeing different things like that. Now, I wonder, if we're hitting these kids with massive amounts of steroids from youth on, and it started in about the 80s, do you think that that could have an effect on, because you've already mentioned that drugs can have an effect on the aura and energy level and vibrational level. If we're amping them and amping their natural growth pattern with all of these, I mean, you know, 8-year-old girls now developing breasts and beginning to menstruate, that's unheard of, but because of the cycles and the amount of pollutants in the food, it's stimulating so much. Do you think that it could be stimulating parts of the brain and helping to push through, you know, almost awaken those parts that we haven't used before, much like the steroids do in a pregnant mom to open up the lungs for the baby so that the babies can breathe more? Do you think that all the steroidal unit is steroidal? Tim, is that another word we need to go to the thesaurus or
yeah, steroidal? I think you need to start your own glossary.
Dave Schrader's Webster, steroidal use. But using steroids, do you think that maybe there could be something to the inordinate amount of things that are in our byproducts of our food, drinks, everything like that, that could be prematurely boosting the levels of these children's abilities?
I don't personally. I think what's happening, at least in my
Bobby, this is my show. You just agree or you leave. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think what in my experience, what I've seen is these kids that are coming in are ready with such a high vibration. They're typically, one of the traits of them is they aren't going to touch meat. It's not part of their energy. They don't vibrate with that kind of consumption. Or very little of it, or they'll be eating lighter vibration meats like chicken, fish, those kind of things.
Right, but a lot of kids don't know. I mean, you know, they'll eat, you know, whatever their parents give them, right, for the most part growing up, and especially during, you know, in the womb, the parents are eating and consuming crap, and all this pre-steroidal birth stuff is going steroidal again. all this exposure to steroids prior to birth and after, and then what's in the milks that we give them and all this stuff, you know, they may make a decision not to eat meat as they get older, but a lot of kids don't have that choice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that it couldn't be happening. It certainly could.
But you say that you notice that they try to stay away from meats. Well, that's interesting because my son Linus, you know, all he wants for dinner is fruit snacks and pudding. So and maybe he's
absolutely. You know. I mean, that's part of the whole deal.
He's either very special or he's a crystalline children. Tim, you've met him. What do you think?
Man.
Yeah.
I got to call it now.
No, I'll let you talk about it later, you bastard.
But in the aura photography, a lot of most of these kids will show up. Their auras will show up in a real bright pink or bright indigo color. And that happens quite a bit.
Hence
as well.
The term indigo children.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Very cool.
Part of that energy.
How can people, with their auras, with the abilities that they have, how do they detect if their child might be special? And it's not just imagination, Bobby. How can we tell if there's a way to help these kids, you know, progress further and to educate them? Like you said, you did classes for gifted children.
Yeah. Well,
because everybody thinks their child's special and has uncanny abilities.
And most of them are. I mean, most of the kids that are coming in are definitely of a different
energy.
I don't want to brag, but my baby, my smallest one, Ripley, she says three words, and one of them is a compound word, backpack. What baby says backpack? You know, mama, dada, she backpack.
And that's one of the, that's, to answer your question, that's one of the things that you're going to see is these kids are bringing through knowledge, they're bringing through special gifts, they're bringing through stuff that you and I probably didn't when we were younger. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they are already communicating telepathically. They may have a so-called imaginary friend, or they're communicating with guides. They are highly intelligent. There's just there's kind of a whole checklist that, you know, it's probably a whole nother show, but that you can actually look at that shows that. I mean, I can look at a child and tell you if they're of that
energy. Ability. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah, maybe I'd be more impressed if she didn't refer to me as backpack, though. Do you think that kind of takes the whole intelligent child quotient right out of it? Backpack, and then she looks at the dog. Backpack.
It gets a lot worse. Trust me.
Well, I know, man. I got my oldest one's about to turn 20 here in a few weeks. Tim,
yeah,
20 years old. You know what that means?
I'm old.
You and I have been friends for 20 years. This August is when we met. This memories like the pages of my mind.
Join in, Bobby.
Bobby's like, wow. You know, Bobby actually did professional radio, Tim. Not that you don't. But he was on FM 107 out here with Echo Bodine.
Well, there you go.
Yes, I was.
And, you know, he did. Now he's sitting in with the college kids here at the...
You know what? I like the dark edge of town much better.
Ah, excellent. Yes, I told you. Why don't you come here? The dark side has good cookies.
I haven't come here yet, but I'm going to.
All right, good deal. Well, you're going to be on our events. We're going to be having you out for that. We are going to go to break here in a minute for the top of the hour. In a couple of minutes, right, Tim? About 2 minutes, we're going to cut to break. So we'll be taking more of your questions. We're going to talk about ghost hunting. Bobby's got some wicked cool photographs we're going to have him show at the event at the Palmer House. And we're going to be including Bobby. I think I'm going to pop it on him tonight. I think we want to have him out at the Queen Mary and Stanley event we're going to be doing out in November and December.
Oh, cool.
So I'd like to have you come out and share some of your stories and evidence that you have. And I got to have you show Tim that the car accident pictures.
Yeah.
That's insane. And I don't want to give it away because I want people to see that when they come to our event. But, man, the pictures this guy's got are unreal. And they're amazing stuff in the stories too. So we're gonna come back. And again, for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest in the first hour is Bobby Sullivan. We were talking about auras, energy healing. We're going to talk more about that in the second hour. We're going to also cover ghost hunting and paranormal investigations and soul release. How can we help spirits cross over? Should we help spirits cross over? We're going to be talking more about that as well. I also want to remind you, if you're a fan of the show Darkness on the Edge of Town, or if you're a fan of the show Paranormal State on A&E, tomorrow you can go to aeinsider.com and see a live taped interview with the Paranormal State cast. You've got Heather, Katrina, Ryan, Sergi, and Elfie, and I got to lead the live Q&A. I say it's live. I was in studio with them live. We didn't bring any dead people with us to that one, but we did the question and answer, and it's going to be on their site starting tomorrow. So go to aeinsider.com, and it's a great place to join up if you want. You can get some great backstage information on your favorite shows. You get some insider stuff. You get interviews and great deals like this that nobody else is going to get to see. So I hope that you'll check it out and support Dave from Darkness Radio because I'm hosting it, and if a bunch of you hit it, they're going to see that you like me, and hopefully they'll have me back to do more interviews with the cast. We have calls coming in. We'll be taking those as well in the second hour. Thank you for listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with Bobby Sullivan and more right after this.